I came to the Lord with my heart full of sin, emptied of purpose and troubled within. My flesh had the victory, my heart sought release. Lord, wilt thou cleanse me and grant me thy peace? Create in me a clean heart, my Father. Renew a right spirit in me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. May Christ be seen in me. I cry to the Savior, forgive me, I pray. He grants it cleansing and sins fell away. My bondage was ended, my heart was set free. Lord, nevermore may I wander from thee. Create in me a clean heart, my Father. Renew a right spirit in me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. May Christ be seen in me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. May Christ be seen in me.
Amen. Thank you, men. I appreciate that. And choir, great song and a great special. We are blessed here at Grace Baptist Church to have music that I believe stirs the heart and soul. And that makes a great difference in our lives. Let's take the Word of God this morning. We'll go to the New Testament, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. It truly has been a great week. You know, a revival is a wonderful week. It is a long week. But it is a special time for God to work and speak to our hearts. And I really thought and prayed about what to preach on today. We've just come, in a sense, off of a great mountaintop in which the Lord has spoken to our hearts and God has dealt with us. And tonight, or this morning and tonight, I want to take time just to share some things with you about how do we continue to live in a spirit of revival. You know, we call it revival service, and we trust that God will work in our heart. But what does it mean to live day by day in that victorious Christian living? What does it mean that you and I can have that abundant Christian life? In fact, the Bible tells us in John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus says, I am come that they might have life. That's eternal life. That's salvation in Christ. But that they might have it more abundantly. Now, every child of God has life in Christ. But not every child of God experiences abundant Christian living. I want to know abundant Christian life. That's what I want. And I know that you want it, but we have a problem today. The problem is that all of us, even as believers in Christ, we still have what the Bible calls the flesh. The old man, or what the Bible refers to as the flesh, the old nature. That indwells each and every one of us, even as a child of God. So this morning, I pray that God would help us. As we look in Romans chapter number 8, I want to preach to you this message entitled, Christ in You. Can I tell you the key to revival daily is Christ in you? Can I tell you the key to your marriage is Christ in you? The one thing that unlocks victory and power is this very thought of Christ in you. May God help us this morning. Let's go to Romans chapter number 8, and we will read the first 10 verses together. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1, the Word of God says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Now I want you to mark these times that we find this phrase, "in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Now this morning, I want you to notice closely in verse number 10 where the Bible says, "And if Christ be in you." Would you underline that phrase, "Christ in you"? I want to ask you to join me in a word of prayer this morning. And let's ask God, the Holy Spirit, to speak to our hearts and to give us understanding today. Let's pray. Father, I come to you this morning and I need you, Lord, as I do every day. But Lord, I come to you only as a vessel. And Father, you've chosen me to be that vessel, that instrument this morning to bring forth thy word. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you would be lifted up in this service and that people would be drawn to thee. And I'm asking you to enable me to do what I could never do in my own strength. Holy Spirit of God, would you touch and convict our hearts? Would you bring comfort to us? And would you open to us the understanding of the Scriptures? We trust in you for this, and we give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I love this phrase, "and if Christ be in you." This morning, I want to ask you a question. I don't want you to raise your hand or anything. But this morning, is Christ in you in the form of the Holy Spirit? You say, "Well, Pastor, how do I know that?" Well, if there has been a day and time in your life in which you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then Christ indwells you this very moment in the form of the Holy Spirit. I got saved when I was 17 years of age in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I heard the gospel preached that day. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I understood that Jesus was the only way to heaven. And I remember that Sunday morning that I left my seat and I came to an old-fashioned aisle and an altar. And I confessed to God that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And that day, God adopted me into His family. I'm a child of God. But let me tell you this, Christ indwells me this very moment. Now, have you ever met a Christian that doesn't live like Christ indwells them? Yes. I think all of us would have to admit that there are times in our lives we are not living in the Spirit, allowing Christ in us to control us, to direct us, to guide us. Instead, we are living in the flesh. And remember what I said. We all have a danger to live in the flesh and not live in the Spirit. We all have that danger of living our daily Christian life miserable, without joy, without peace, because we are not allowing Christ in us to live through our lives, to take control of our every thought, to take control of our words before we speak them, to enable us to live a life that is pleasing to Jesus Christ. I wonder something this morning. Are you living a life in which Christ in you is shining forth? Have you ever met a Christian before? To just being with that Christian, being in their presence, you knew that they knew the Lord and they loved the Lord, and Christ in them was shining forth. How many has ever met a Christian like that? Would you raise your hand? Yes. But I think all of us would have to admit and raise our hands of Christians we've met that you didn't know that Christ indwelt them. Oh yes, they were saved. They had not lost the blessed Holy Spirit, but they were not living that way. And all of us would have to admit that there are times in our lives when Christ in us is not shining forth. Brethren, today, Christ in you. We come off a revival service, and you know, I remember, especially when I was in Bible college, reminds me, my daughter, I was talking to her just the other day, when Brother Ross left here, he went home for just a day, and then he went to the college where my daughter's at, Fairhaven Baptist College, and he was preaching there. They're having a big tent revival and all of that, and my daughter was so excited. Dad, it's so great. And God is working and speaking. And I remember those days in college. I remember what it was like to be in a revival. It was truly a mountaintop experience. But you know something? Really, the Christian life is not just those great experiences when God speaks to us. The Christian life is day by day. The Christian life, God intended for us to have victory not just during a revival, not to have peace during just a revival, but to have joy and peace and victory day by day. How is that possible? I'll tell you the key this morning, Christ in you. Christ indwells you this morning. He indwells me. We do not have to live a life of defeat. We do not have to live a life of despair and discouragement. We can live a life of victory. That doesn't mean that we can live a life of sinlessness. Oh, I wish that was possible this side of heaven. But it is not, because the old flesh still indwells us. And there is that battle. The Apostle Paul talked about how that he says that in my flesh, he said, dwelleth no good thing. This morning, I want you to understand something, that even if Christ indwells you, because of in your flesh, you are capable of doing anything that a lost man or woman is capable of doing. Because the flesh, the Bible says to us, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And you ought to read the list, because that is what every one of us is capable of doing in our flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit, notice that it's not a work of the Spirit, it's a fruit of the Spirit. That means it's something that God does through your life. It is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you allowing Christ in you to live His life through you? Brethren, I got good news for you today. God does not ask you to live the Christian life. You say, well, praise God, Pastor, that's great. I can live any way I want to live. That's not it. God doesn't ask you to live the Christian life. He asks you to let Him live the Christian life through you. You see, we allow the Lord to do His work in and through our life. It doesn't mean that we just sit still. It doesn't mean that we do not obey the Lord, but we allow Him to enable us to live the kind of life that we could never live in our own strength. Folks, Christ in you is the Holy Spirit of God. And we are blessed this morning to have Christ indwelling us. Now, in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is here preaching this and teaching this church at Rome. And let me tell you something about this. He is telling them that Christ indwells you. He says Christ indwells you. And if Christ indwells you, the body is dead to sin. The ideal there is we don't have to live according to the works of the flesh any longer. Now, often we do. Every single one of us, including your pastor. But we don't have to obey the flesh any longer. I always give this illustration because I think it's helpful. It's kind of like the idea of paying off your house. You owe a debt. Many of you may have done that. And for years, you wrote that check to the bank every month. And you know something? Let's say that you paid off the house
And the next month, you were not going to have to make a payment any longer. You did not owe a debt any longer. But let's just say that you got to feeling sorry for that bank, you know. Poor bank, you know. They don't make a lot of money. And man, I'll tell you, they're just really struggling out there, you know. And let's just say that you've said, you know what, honey, I just feel sorry for the bank. Let's go ahead and write them another check. You know what you'd say? That's foolish, Pastor. You don't owe them any longer. That's exactly how it is in the Christian life. Brethren, when you become a child of God and Christ in you comes to indwell you, let me tell you this, you don't have to obey the flesh any longer. Before you were saved, you were a slave to sin. But now that you're a child of God and Christ indwells you, you have victory, not in your own strength, but because of Christ in you. You see, this morning, it is not about us becoming greater and greater. John the Baptist even said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John the Baptist was saying, it is not me becoming greater and greater. It is Him becoming greater and greater in and through my life. Now this morning, what does it mean about Christ in you? Number one, I want you to notice, Christ in you is a permanent gift. It's permanent. Take your Bibles and go to John chapter number 14. John chapter 14, I want to show this to you. Folks, I want you to mark it down, not to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, not to depend upon the Holy Spirit. There's only one alternative, and that is to live a life of spiritual poverty. To live a life of despair. You know, look, let's be honest. I remember when I first got saved and I came to know the Lord as my Savior. Christ came to indwell me. Brother, I knew there had been a change in my life. The Bible says that old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You see, my spirit, we're all, by the way, we're all spirit, soul, and body. Your body does not live here forever. Our body is decomposing every single day. I think we understand that. It is shriveling, dying up. We understand that. But your soul, all right, your soul will live forever. But your spirit, before you come to know Christ, is dead in trespasses and sin. But when Christ comes to indwell you, He rejuvenates. He brings to life your spirit. And what is that? It's the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Can I tell you something? Christ in you is a permanent gift. You never lose the Holy Spirit of God. Now, by the way, I've met people before that they believe you can lose your salvation. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm being all very kind about it. But it is an indictment against God to believe that we can lose something that He indwells us with. Folks, to say that we can lose something that God has purchased with His own blood, the blood of His own Son, is a mockery in the eyes of God. Folks, when you are brought into the family of God by faith in Jesus Christ, at that moment, Christ in you comes to indwell you, and it is a permanent gift. Now look what the Bible says in John chapter 14, and we begin in verse number 16. John 14, verse 16, notice what the Word of God says. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter." I love that word, another. It means one just like me. It's the Holy Spirit, another comforter, that He may abide with you, look at this, forever. The Bible goes on to say, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye and me, and look at this, and I in you. That's what the Lord Jesus told His disciples before He bled and died upon the cross. He said, listen, it is expedient for you that I go away. It's in your best interest. Because when I go away, I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and I will be in you. That's Christ in you. It is a permanent gift. You know something? I believe this with all my heart. I believe that many Christians neglect the gift of the Holy Spirit that indwells them. When's the last time that we prayed to the Holy Spirit? You say, well, Pastor, that's wrong. Folks, can I tell you something? Christ in you is God. Listen, the Holy Spirit is God Himself. We believe in a triune God is what the Bible teaches. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit indwells you. You are entrusted with a wonderful gift that's permanent. You know, my grandfather, when I was growing up, he would always give me gifts all the time. You know what? Within a week, I'd probably lost that gift or broken it or something, you know? He'd always give me a knife. He loved giving me knives. My mom hated it, you know. I mean, he'd give me knives that long, you know. And here you go, Hank. This will be good for you, right? Yeah, my sisters are kind of dangerous, so, you know, got to protect myself. But, you know, my papa would give me all that stuff. Well, you know what would happen? I'd leave it at the creek, you know. I'd leave it in the treehouse, and I'd leave it at my sister's door. No, I'm joking. But anyway, I'd, you know, different places. I'd lose it. And my papa would say, Hank, did you lose that? Yeah, Papa, I lost it, you know. But I'm going to tell you something. You cannot lose the Spirit of God that indwells you. But do you know what you have? Now, how many in here enjoy going to garage sales? Would you raise your hand and hold it up high? All right. Someone else's trash could be your treasure, right? Is that how it works, you know? And you know how that is. But you know what? We hear stories all the time about people going to garage sales or just trying to make a few dollars. And people selling things that they had no idea what they had. I remember the story years ago of someone in Las Vegas. And they were at literally a garage sale in that area. And they picked up a painting and paid $5 for the painting. They took it home, began to inspect it, and noticed that there was a painting behind that painting. An original painting worth over $2 million. You know what? I'm happy for the man who bought it, but I feel really bad for the man who sold it, you know? You know what you want to say to that man? He would have never sold it if he knew what he had. I mean, he was probably trying to make a few $100s. And on the table, he had something worth over $2 million. Folks, I wonder if we're going to get to heaven one day, and the Lord is going to look at us and say, I could have done so much through your life, and I gave you everything that you needed. I gave you the Holy Spirit who would enable you to live a life of victory. And you know something? I wonder if the Lord's going to say, you lived a life of defeat, but I gave you everything to live a life of victory. You lived a life of hopelessness, but I gave you something, the Holy Spirit, a person who indwells you. And yet you lived in worry and in fear. Folks, Christ in you is a permanent gift. And it is a gift that indwells us. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. Let Him work through you. By the way, we talk about soul winning and telling others of Christ. Did you know that Christ in you is seeking after souls? Christ in you wants to get the gospel. But do we grieve the Holy Spirit? This past Thursday, we had a funeral, and Brother Mac Wright's mother. And it was a packed. I mean, there was a lot of people there. I was able to give the gospel, and I'm so grateful for that privilege. Friday morning, had the funeral for Midge West and quite a few people there. And in the funeral, a man raised his hand, recognizing that he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But can I tell you something? Christ in me was seeking after that man. God was seeking after that man. Folks, Christ in you is a permanent gift. Number two, Christ in you is a person who can be grieved. Now, you know, I think Brother Ross said about this, the Holy Spirit is not an it, it's not a force, it's not an influence. The Holy Spirit is a person. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and let's go to Ephesians chapter number 4. It's very important for us to see this. Christ in you is a person that can be grieved. Do you know that every one of us here has experienced grief? We've experienced something to be grieved. For instance, let me give you an illustration. Let's take a father that he finds that someone has stolen money out of his wallet. Now that man would be angry, but if he found out it was his own son who stole the money, he would not just be angry, he would be grieved. Grieved. Now, the word grieve is a very important word that we find in the Bible. The word grieve means to give pain of mind to. When you think about it, it hurts. That's grieve. It means to wound. It means to cause sorrow. And I think the greatest illustration of grief that I can give to you is the grieving that is done through the loss of a loved one. I've done a lot of funerals in our church in the last 10 years, a lot of funerals. And I'm going to tell you something, I have seen grief. On Thursday night, I saw grief. On Friday, I saw grief. As I was leaving Friday to go to the graveside service, you know, I'll be honest with you, I can't explain this to you, but funerals take something out of me. There is something about them. They deplete me as a pastor just because you're with people and they're grieving and you're trying to help them. And there is a grief. And as I was leaving the funeral home to go to the graveside, I'll just be honest with you. Boy, I just broke down and cried. And the grief of death, and I said to this, God, you never intended death to be this way. But because of man's sin in the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve sinned against God, death entered into the bloodstream of all of mankind, and we suffer death. And can I tell you what happens? Grief takes place. Many of you have experienced grief, the loss of a husband or a wife or a child or a grandparent or a parent. And you know what it is to grieve. It hurts. There is a pain in your mind, maybe even to this day. By the way, I'm reminded of something this morning. I was reading the Bible where the Bible says that our God, He's the one that heals the broken in heart and He binds up their wounds. You know what I recognized this morning? He doesn't take the wound away, but He binds up the wounds. And every one of us today have wounds that God's not going to take that wound away. Do you ever get over the wound of the loss of a loved one? I don't think you ever get over that wound. Do you ever get over certain wounds? And people may say, just get over it. But there are things that only the Lord can bind up the wounds. Why? Because we grieve. Now look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 4. And we notice something here about this grief. Christ in you is a person that can be grieved. Ephesians chapter number 4 verse 25. The Bible says this. Wherefore, putting away lying. Now, it's very important that God starts there because the Holy Spirit that indwells you is the Spirit of truth. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want you to know this morning that in this building there are three types of people, all right? And I'm going to categorize you. How about that, all right? And there are unsaved folks possibly here today that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say this to you. They are dead in their trespasses and sin. The Holy Spirit does not indwell them. But there's a second group here, and that is Christians who have the Holy Spirit of God that indwells them and is living the joyful, abundant life through their life. They are not grieving the Holy Spirit. But there is a third group, and they are the most miserable. Billy Sunday said this, some people have enough religion to make them sick. And you know what that means? Some people know Christ, but they're not living the Christian life. They're not allowing Christ in them to live out the Christian life. Listen, you're either a Christian living with a grieved Holy Spirit in your life, or a Christian that's living with ungrieved Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. If the Spirit of God is grieved in you, you're not going to function as God has created the Christian life to function. You're not going to have the joy. You're not going to have the peace. You're not going to have the victory in your life because Christ in you is grieved because He's a person. Let me say this to you. God gives us a list here. And I want you to notice the list. Notice what it says. Folks, here's a list. Let me give you these quickly. When a Christian lies, it grieves God, the Holy Spirit. When a Christian has uncontrolled anger, it grieves God, the Holy Spirit. Man, I'm going to tell you something. The way you treat your wife, and ladies, the way you treat your husband has everything to do with your Christian life. You see, the way we treat others has everything to do with our Christian life. Why do Christians treat others so badly at times? Because they live with a grieved Holy Spirit. They're not living with Christ in them, living their life through them. When a Christian, number three, steals, it grieves God. Folks, let me just remind you that when we withhold the tithe is what belongs to God, the 10% of our gross income. I'm going to tell you something. It grieves God, the Holy Spirit. Number four, when a Christian has corrupt speech, it grieves God. Look, the word corrupt has to do with corrupt fruit. I don't know about you, but I love fruit. But have you ever eaten fruit before that was rotten? I think about a few weeks ago, we had purchased a watermelon. You know, the bad thing about a watermelon or a lot of fruit is you don't know really what it's like inside, you know? It'd be nice if you could cut it open right there and look at it and then say yes or no, you know? I don't think that's allowed. But anyway, you know, a few weeks ago, we got a watermelon. I mean, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. And man, it looked good on the outside. We cut it open. I mean, it not only tasted bad, it smelled bad. I mean, it just was bad. Guess what? We couldn't eat it. It was rotten. It was corrupt. Something that should be sweet, something that should be nourishing, was no longer that way. When we have corrupt speech, I'm going to tell you something. It grieves God, the Holy Spirit. When a Christian is bitter, it grieves God, the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you're living with bitterness in your heart, unforgiveness towards some Christian, some family member, some loved one, I'm going to tell you something. You are living with a grieved Holy Spirit. And you say, how serious is that? Let me tell you how serious it is. The Holy Spirit cannot work in your life when you have grieved Him. Folks, why do we live lives of defeat so often? Because we live with a grieved Holy Spirit within us. You know something? I know what it is to have joy and victory in my life as I'm yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, as I'm staying close to Him in His Word and through prayer. I know what that's like, but I also know what it's like to be miserable as a Christian. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I think every Christian knows what that is like, because there is unconfessed, hidden sin in your life, or you are trying to do the work of God in the energy of the flesh. Let me tell you something, you will be defeated. You see, Christ in you is a permanent gift, but Christ in you is a person who can be grieved. And by the way, you cannot grieve someone who does not love you. Parents, I think all of us know that when our kids maybe get off the path of righteousness and they take the wrong path, maybe even for a short period of time, I'm going to tell you what it does. It grieves you. It grieves us. Why? Because we love our children. When our children do not obey the Lord, or they do not obey us, and in a sense, they are not obeying God, it grieves us. Why? Because we love them. But think of this morning. The Holy Spirit loves you. And the Holy Spirit is grieved when you allow things in your life. Look at this list. Lying and stealing and anger and bitterness and corrupt speech. All of that grieves God, the Holy Spirit. Brethren, the Holy Spirit is our heavenly guest. He is listening to every word that you say. And He takes note of everything that we do. And everything that is done contrary to the holiness of God and the righteousness of Jesus Christ grieves God, the Holy Spirit. I heard this story years ago of a man who came upon the scene of an accident. And the lady was there holding her child who was injured in that car accident. And it was serious. Could be fatal. And the woman looked around and said, "If any of you know the Lord, pray for my son." And there was a man there who was a Christian. But he was running from the Lord. He was away from God. And that man began to weep because he knew. He knew that he was grieving God, the Holy Spirit, and he could not get a hold of the Lord. Folks, do you know what the Bible tells us? Simply put, that when we are living with unconfessed sin in our life, that he will not hear us. Oh, folks, today, may we understand that Christ in us is a permanent gift, but Christ in you is a person who can be grieved. Number three, the last thing this morning, Christ in you is not only a permanent gift, a person who can be grieved, but Christ in you is the power of God. Take your Bibles, you're there in Ephesians 4. Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. And I want you to understand this. You know, to some Christians, the Holy Spirit is only a guest. Now take note in that. To some Christians, the Holy Spirit is only a guest. Now let's say, for instance, that I came to your home. And I'm a guest. I don't live there. I have no authority there in your home. But let's say that I go to your home and I start telling you everything you need to do in the home. And I start telling you to rearrange the furniture and get rid of that furniture. We're going to buy new furniture. And you need to paint those walls. And you know what you'd look at me and say? Pastor, you're on my turf here in my home, you know? You have no authority here because I am just a guest. And we understand that. But I wonder how often we treat the Holy Spirit, who indwells us, as a guest. I mean, let's think about it just for a moment. What if I came home to my house today and someone had changed all the deadbolts on the doors, you know? That'd be a bad thing. It wouldn't take place, all right? But let's say that I come home to my house and someone else is living there. I mean, that'd be a problem, you know? We'd all say, well, wait a minute. Well, I'd be calling the police. I'd be saying, hey, they're living in my house here. They have no authority here. They do not belong here. But I wonder how often we treat the Holy Spirit that way. The Holy Spirit begins to convict us about something in our life. And you know what we say to the Holy Spirit? Hey, this is my body. This is my life. This is what I choose. You have no authority. You know what we do? We grieve God, the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit is not going to break down the door of your heart. The Holy Spirit is not going to make you live your life pleasing to Christ. But He is that permanent gift within you to guide you, to direct you. And God wants us to live in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But folks, how often we treat Him like a guest. Folks, this morning, Christ in you is the power of God. Look at what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 5. And we already read Ephesians chapter 4. But now we come to chapter 5. And I want you to look what it says in verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." I think we all would agree with that. Verse 17, "Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Folks, I can tell you this morning, based on the authority of Scripture, what the will of God for your life is right now. And I'll tell you what it is. To be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Before I read on here, I mean this. There are very few Christians who live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Very few Christians live with the Spirit of God controlling and guiding them and directing their every step, their every decision, the words that they speak. Very few Christians live that way. And I want you to mark it down. We do great damage to the church of God and to our other believers in Christ when we do not walk in the Holy Spirit of God. We do great damage. You know something as a pastor? Do you know that I could destroy this church if I do not walk in the Holy Spirit of God? I could. I could do it. Do you know every Sunday school teacher here, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you will do great damage in the Sunday school classroom. Every bus worker that is not filled with the Holy Spirit, every bus driver, they will do great damage to the cause of Christ. Every school teacher in our Christian school, every staff member on the staff of Grace Baptist Church, you will do unknowable damage and destruction if you are not filled with the Spirit of God. Every deacon. In fact, you know that there are two offices in the local church, the pastor and the deacon. And do you know that the qualifications for a pastor, among many other things, and for a deacon, is to be Spirit-filled. But do you know that deacons, they can destroy a church if they are not walking in the Holy Spirit. And the pastor can, he can wreak havoc and hurt lives if he is not filled with the Holy Spirit. We may think this morning, well, pastor, okay, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm glad the Holy Spirit indwells me, but I don't know if I'll choose to allow the Holy Spirit to fill me and control me or not. But if you do not, I'll mark it down. You will do more damage than you can ever imagine because you are allowing the devil to have his way. Why do you think back in Ephesians chapter 4 it says, neither give place to the devil? If we are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And folks, you say, who are you preaching this to? Me and all of us here today. Because folks, if we are not living with the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us, and you say, how do I know, Pastor? We'll get to that in just a moment. But are you filled? Let's read on here. The Bible goes on, and I know this illustration may seem a little strange, but let's look at it. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now I want you to notice something very, very important. God gives us a comparison. By the way, if you think that the Word of God gives any exemption for any type of wine or alcohol use, you're not correct according to the Bible. I believe the Bible teaches total abstinence from wine, alcohol, or any type of strong drink, whatever it may be. I believe the Bible clearly teaches that. God is not saying it's okay to drink wine as long as you don't do it in excess. That's not the emphasis. The emphasis of this passage is don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. Don't be drunk with wine when a man is filled his body with wine. He is controlled by that. Now listen, here's the comparison here. Do you know that a man that is filled with alcohol is controlled by alcohol? In fact, do you know that his entire personality changes? I mean, look, we laugh about it sometimes. Honestly, I don't think it's really something to be laughed about. But you know, you take a man that's filled with alcohol, he might be shy and backward. Guess what will happen to him? He'll become bold and brazen. That's what will happen to him. I mean, he'll be willing to try to lick anybody in town. And although he's not capable of doing it, his whole personality has changed because he is filled with another substance. And God uses that as an illustration to help us understand what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. By the way, do you know something? There is no such thing as permanent intoxication. If that was true, we would put out of business all the beer joints in town. Because there's no such thing. Guess what? A man or a woman has to keep going back to try to drown their sorrows or try to deal with things in life and all of that. They have to keep going back. And folks, as a child of God, we have to continually go to the Word of God and spend that time in prayer and allow God to fill us, to control us, to work through us. Because if not, we are not going to live the kind of life God wants us to live. I remember when I first got saved and came to know the Lord as my Savior. Life was so wonderful. You know? I mean, I'd read the Bible and it was a brand new book to me. God was speaking to me and, well, I remember what it was like waking up every morning, couldn't wait to get to the Word of God in prayer. But you know what? After a couple of weeks, you know what happened? Man, I kind of lost that zeal. I kind of lost that joy, and I was so discouraged, and I was so in despondency. What has happened to me? Was I not really saved before? Yes, Christ came to indwell me, but guess what? The Lord was dealing with me. He was dealing with me about some sin in my life. He was dealing with me about some attitude. He was dealing with me about some things in my life that I had not willing to confess and forsake. And guess what? I was grieving God the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. I was not living in joy or in victory. So we see the characteristic here that when a Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit, he is transformed into a different kind of person. They have joy. There's peace about them. By the way, just look at the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. I have said to my wife before, we've maybe gone places or maybe even in our church, and I've said to her, that person is a Spirit-filled Christian. You know the difference with them. There is a calmness about their life. There is a joy about their life. There is a victory about them. It doesn't mean that they're perfect. None of us are. It doesn't mean that they never struggle, because all of us do. But there is something about them. And I'll tell you, there's characteristics about them. There's love about them. It's real love. It's genuine love. Love is giving. Love is not taking. Love is sacrificial. That's love. Where do you get that love? The Spirit of God enables you to love. Joy. Joy is not happiness. Look, I'm happy that the Buckeyes are going to be playing soon, all right? I'm happy about that. All of us are, all right? I'm just giving that as an illustration. But look, if my joy in life falls on whether the Buckeyes win or lose, that's a pretty sad place to put my joy, is it not? You know what joy is? Joy is knowing that you're right with God. Joy is knowing that you're in the fellowship of the Lord. Joy is knowing that you're living in the sunshine of God. That's joy. But do you have it? Do I have it? Look, I'll be honest with you. There's times when I lack joy. I lack that joy that is found only as we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Peace. Look, we live in a world today that is just, it's gone crazy, it seems like. Where is the peace? Oh, listen, there's the peace with God. That's through Jesus Christ. But there is a peace of God. That peace of God that we can have. Folks, today, are you that type of Christian? Filled with the Holy Spirit. We see the characteristics, the command. We are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God has commanded us. Do you know something? To not live Spirit-filled, I'm going to tell you something, is living in disobedience to God. You know, as a pastor, folks, I can have the greatest homiletical great message to give you, but if I am not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to tell you something, it profiteth nothing. In fact, the Bible says that the flesh profits nothing. The Spirit is what gives life. It quickens. But I want you to notice something here quickly. Would you look what the Bible says? Look what it says back in Ephesians 5 in verse number 19. I want you to notice this. Speaking to yourselves. Let's stop right there. You say, Pastor, if I do that, they'll lock me up, you know? But you know that every day we speak to ourselves. We do. There's a lot going on. We're talking to ourselves. Have you ever gotten mad about something? Maybe something took place. Maybe at I don't know. It could have been any place. You went to do business someplace and, boy, someone maybe treated you bad. You know what happens the rest of the day? You speak to yourself about that. That person, I'm telling you what, I'm telling you, next time I see them, I'm just going to let them have it. You're speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Is that what we're doing? May God help us this morning. Look, this brings conviction. What are you speaking to yourself about? You speak, well, I'm telling you, that person, well, that child, that wife, that husband, boy, we speak to ourselves. We bring all kinds, we almost a sense, we put them up on the judgment seat and we accuse them and we judge them in our mind and we've got everything we're going to say to them because of what they've done to us. Not Spirit-filled, because a Spirit-filled Christian is speaking to themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You say, Pastor, how is that possible? We have to get a lot of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in our heart. That means the Word of God has to be abiding in us. Listen, you can't think or speak to yourself about something that you're not reading or that you're not hiding in your heart. We ought to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. Richly. I wonder this morning, how are you speaking to yourself? Let's read on here. And it says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know what? All of us make some kind of melody. You make a melody and I make a melody. You know what? Sometimes my poor wife, bless her heart, you ought to pray for her, all right? You don't have a very good pastor, but you have a great pastor's wife. I want you to know that. But let me say this to you. Sometimes all of us men would have to agree, our wives have to put up with us making melody in the home. We want to come home and tell her everything that went wrong that day. We want to just, we make melody, but it's not in our hearts to the Lord. We're upset. We're angry. We want to make melody, but I'll tell you, it's not the right kind of melody. It's because we are not Spirit-filled. Look what it goes on to say. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the first characteristic of a Spirit-filled Christian is that they are joyful. They're making melody, but they're talking about what God has done in their heart. They are not accusing others. They are thinking of what the Lord has done. They are, in a sense, speaking to themselves. Boy, God spoke to me this morning. That was good. They're mulling over. They're meditating on the Word of God. They're meditating. They got a song in their heart, a tune. My mom, I remember times growing up that my mom would kind of sing around the house. Boy, I loved that. You know why? There was a melody in her heart. She had been thinking about that, and that was some joy in her heart. Joyfulness is the first characteristic of a Spirit-filled Christian. But the second one is thankfulness. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you grateful? You know something, little children, what do you have to do with little children? You could give them a $100 bill, and you know what they do? They just say, yep, I deserve it, you know. You should have given that to me a long time ago, you know. That's almost how little children are, and they're all that way. We have to teach them. Now, what do you say before I beat you when we get home, you know? What do you say now? Come on, it's going to be bad, you know. I remember people in church when our kids were little, they would give them candy and give them little things, and I'd sit there and I'd think, Lord, please help them to say thank you, you know. But why didn't they want to? Because it's not a part of our nature. Thanksgiving. Look, did you thank God this morning? Did you thank Him for health to be able to come to church? Because there are some people watching us live stream that would give anything to walk through those doors. Did you thank Him for your eyesight that you can see? Because there are people this morning that are lying in a bed that can't see anything. But you get to see. You get to see people. You get to see the change of weather. Have you thanked God for that? Have you thanked Him for a church that we have to come to? Listen, we have a church here, a family, a fellowship together, that we can come together. Are we thanking God for that? Are we thanking God for our spouse and our children and our, most importantly, our salvation? We go days sometimes and weeks without thanksgiving. But number three, there's also something else. I believe the third characteristic, look what it says. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Do you know that submission is the third characteristic? And let me stop and I want to say this to you. Children, when you don't submit to your parents, you grieve God the Holy Spirit, and you are not living being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But wives, when we don't submit to our husbands, and I'm not saying that our husbands are perfect, because I'm one of them and I'm not. But when you submit to God's order of leadership in the home, when you submit to that, lovingly submit, that's what God has called you to do. But when you do not submit, let me tell you something, you grieve God the Holy Spirit and you're not a Spirit-filled Christian. Men, when we do not submit to loving our wives, I believe the Bible teaches mutual submission in His Word. that we don't submit to carry. Men are to love their wives as their own selves. God put that there because guess what, men? We're good at loving our own selves. We're good at it. And we are to love our wives. We are to submit to loving them, to caring for them, to leading the home. We just submit to Christ. But when there is no submission, when we are resisting any place of submission that God has placed in our lives, mark it down, you're grieving God. And Christ in you is not having victory. You know what? We came off of a wonderful week. Wonderful. Many of you came to this altar and you spent time alone with the Lord. But look, it's not just... Years ago, someone told D.L. Moody they were getting ready to have a big revival. And a man said, I'm praying that I can get everything I need here for the rest of my life in that service. You know, sometimes we think that. I'm going to get something here that'll just carry me through the rest of my life. Well, that's like going to the buffet and saying, I'm going to get enough to eat here to last me the next month, you know? Well, that's not possible. Guess what? We have to have daily food. And you need a daily supply of abiding in Christ. In fact, do you know that Colossians, let me read this to you quickly. In Colossians 3:16, listen what the Bible says. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now listen to this. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That sounds pretty similar to what we read back in Ephesians chapter 5. And the Word of God is the key. When you let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Dwell. You know what dwell means? You're meditating on it. You've not just read a verse for the day. You're hiding in your heart. You're obeying the Word of God. Listen, a Bible-filled Christian is a Spirit-filled Christian. And if we are not filled with the Word of God, look here, sometimes I'm filled with a lot of other things, but not the Word of God. I might be filled with anger. I might be filled with worry, fear, and not the Word of God. I want to say this to you. Some of you say, Pastor, I pray for you, and I thank you for that. There's nothing more that I need than that right there. But you know something specifically, what I need you to pray is that I would be a pastor, a daddy, a husband that is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you what you need. Men, can I tell you what you need today? The fullness of the Holy Spirit. You yield to Him. You surrender to Him. And then I'm going to tell you, joyfulness will be a part of your life. Thanksgiving will be a part of your life. And submission as God has ordained it for you. Today, Christ in you. I think sometimes we go weeks and we just forget that Christ indwells us in the form of the Holy Spirit. We neglect Him and we grieve Him. May God help us today. Christ in you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for working in our hearts. And Lord, this message I give because I need it. I need it so very much. Lord, how we become weary because we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Deal with us today. Lord, do a work. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would say this morning, Pastor, I know Jesus as my Savior. I know that I'm a child of God. And I know that if I died today that I'd go to heaven to be with the Lord. That's me. Would you lift your hands to testimony? That's me, Pastor. Thank you. You may put your hands down. How many would say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. And I don't know where I would go if I died today. Would you pray for me? I make you a promise that I will not embarrass you or come to you. But I just want to pray for you. How many say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand before. Because I don't know where I'd go if I died. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. Now, based on that, all of you are saying that you're a Christian. That means this, Christ indwells you. Now I want to ask you specifically, how many would say, Pastor, the Lord spoke to me about something in my life that I'm grieving the Holy Spirit with. And God has put His finger on it. Would you pray for me this morning?
Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, Pastor. That's me. Amen. Amen. All over. And you know, God has dealt with me in my own heart. How many would say this morning, Pastor, I'll be honest, I have been living the Christian life and I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. And God has dealt with me this morning. I'm not controlled and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, Pastor. That's me. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, would you please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. We're just going to have the piano to begin to play. And today, would you join me here at this altar? I want you as a church. We've had a great week. Thank God for the week. But the key to continual revival is Christ in you. The key to victory in your home is Christ in you. Yield to Him. Submit to Him. Surrender. Look here. You don't have to make God fill you. He wants to fill you. He desires to work through you. Surrender to Him. Yield to Him. And I'm going to ask men and women and young people to come this morning and let us do business with the Lord. Father in heaven, I thank You. I need this in my life. All of us need this because it is Your precious Word. I pray every teacher here would know that they must be a Spirit-filled Christian. Every deacon would know they must live in the Spirit of God. Every staff member, myself, and all of us. But Lord, we know this goes for the layman. This goes for just, Lord, someone that comes and to our church every Sunday and Wednesday. God, help us as husbands and wives and children and dads and moms to be Spirit-filled. Help us to know that we can do great damage if we are not being filled with the Holy Spirit. Do Your work today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The piano begins to play. Would you come at this time? God has dealt with you. Let the Lord have His way. You can look right this way, and I am so grateful that you are here this morning. And you know, this is a message that I preached years ago in our church, but God began to work in my heart about this, and we need this. Our church needs this. Every person here, none of us are exempt from saying we've got this all figured out. I know what it is to live Spirit-filled, but I know what it is not to live Spirit-filled. And I've done a lot of damage and a lot of hurt to people when I've not been Spirit-filled. And so have you. So may God help us daily to abide in Christ. And look, the key is not working harder. That's not it. It's submitting, surrendering to the Lord. We come to His Word. We abide in Him. And He produces that fruit. You know what? I'm thankful. If I had to produce the fruit, sorry, it's not going to happen. But when I let Christ in me, the Holy Spirit produce His fruit,
He can only produce the fruit. And may the Lord help us. Well, we're thankful to have Arv and Marty Edgeworth. Would you all stand right there? And the Edgeworths have been coming to our church for some time, and he's preached in chapel for us and does a great job and has a great ministry with creation and all of this. And there's special people. I've been with them and many times in their home, and they love the Lord. They know the Lord. They've been saved and baptized. And they're coming today to say we want to be members of Grace Baptist Church. All right? And we're so grateful for this, and I'm so thankful. And this is an encouragement and a blessing to me. So I'm going to have them stand at the door, Arv and Marty Edgeworth. All right? So if you can get their names. And they'll be standing with my wife and I at the doors. And make sure you greet them and just welcome them into the family of God here at Grace Baptist Church. And we're so grateful to have them. All right? And I pray tonight you can be right in your place. We have choir practice at 5 o'clock. And then our evening service. God has put something in my heart I want to bring to you tonight. And kind of right after the revival. And then next week I'll get back to our faith series that we've been doing. And pray for the renovations. And they are coming. We had a little snafu this week with the pews. And we're going to put us behind a little bit. But that's all right. I didn't kill anybody. That's a good thing. All right. And so, you know, you come to the end of the day, you haven't murdered anybody. You feel like it's been a good day, you know. So, but anyway, no, I'm joking. But you know what? We're going to be just fine. The Lord has a timing for all of this. And God's going to take care of every detail of it. And we're going to be just fine. And it's going to be beautiful. And hey, grateful that we have a building like this to join into. In fact, I've had people tell me, Pastor, I'm going to kind of miss being in here, you know. And that's a good thing. So it's great that we could be in this building. We'll get in there. And it's going to be wonderful and fabulous. Everybody's going to love the carpet. Everybody's going to love the pews. Everybody's going to love the color. All right? We are. I can just tell you right now, we're going to love it. Because that's not what we're there for, all right? And we're there to worship the Lord. And so I can tell you it won't be pink, all right? I can tell you that. So anything beyond that, we're good, all right? So ladies, I'm sorry, but just can't have it, all right? So anyway. All right, Brother Stevenson's going to come and close us in a word of prayer. I pray you can be right in your place tonight. And please greet Arv and Marty Edgeworth. Man, that's great, you know. It's been a long week, all right? So greet them as we go out. So glad that Todd and his family, Hendricks, can be with us from Pennsylvania. Great family here, and he's an assistant pastor there at Mount Zion Baptist Church. We're grateful they could be here today. Would you come?
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you've done in our hearts, and we thank you for dying on the cross for us. But Lord, after salvation, to thank you for indwelling us and helping us through our Christian life. We know we can't do it without you. And Lord, thank you for your help. Lord, I pray that we would go out this week in the Spirit and that we would be kind through the Spirit and that we would be an example. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we talk and minister to those who are around us. I pray that you would give us the words to say. Lord, bring us back tonight and give us safety on the roads. In Jesus' name, amen.